Action. Starring David Janssen as Dr. Richard Kimball, an innocent victim of blind justice, falsely convicted for the murder of his wife.
We couldn't find the anniversary waltz, so we had to settle for Happy Birthday. And such it is, and at least you didn't have to put up with me singing it. Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and Ken, now 1 year old today, and unfortunately all of the rest of us that are associated with it or not are also 1 year older as of today. The anniversary program, and let me bring on here for you a discussion, the hosts. We've got Kitty and Bobby Neer and Ken, so happy anniversary to all of you.
Thank you.
Talking Fugitive is a year old. That crap is still, I mean, that wonderful show is still on the air?
It's, you know, no surprise to me, talented people talking about a quality program.
I'm telling you. Well, I just wanted to quickly here at the beginning of the show, thank you for doing those specials last year on The Fugitive, which led to this, because without that, this would not exist.
You know, what really led to was me screwing up everything on my first show that I did, but we'll skip over that.
And KSAV for allowing three people who are totally obsessed with a 40-year-old TV series to come here and talk about it every other week. And I'd like to thank Kitty and Ken for carrying me for the last year, because if I had to do this show alone, I wouldn't even listen to it. So, and we also have to thank our European, Norwegian, Scandinavian connection, and that's Leave in Norway, for creating and keeping up to date the Talking Fugitive website, which allows us to advertise the program so that people even know that it's on.
She does a terrific job, too.
Oh, I'm telling you. So it's a miracle. I don't know why we're still doing this, but we are. So we will plug on. Thank you very much. Tonight is not just our first year anniversary, but also a very special program, in that this episode tonight, number 77 of the series, is, I think by common consensus of everybody, one of the best of the entire series. We have a lot to talk about, so let's cut to the chase right away. When I say that, I mean that not figuratively, but literally. Because it's the chase in this particular episode, Wife Killer, that is the high point of this entire story. And it is, I think, without dispute, the most exciting single act, Act One of this story, of the entire series, until we get to the Fugitive finale. There's probably be some debate whether that's even more exciting, but at this point, this is about as exciting as it can possibly be. And it starts out very simply in a place called Baker City, where a group of transients have been, they're rounded up by the local police chief because a congressman's wife has been murdered. They've all been rounded up, and until they find the real killer. In this group of transients happens to be one of the most important of all, and that is the one-armed man, the one who committed the crime for which Kimball has been on the run for the past almost 3 years. That's probably nothing new for him. He's probably been rounded up before because he has no job and no specific place to live. It's probably nothing new. What's new about this, and you throw into the mix here, is a very aggressive reporter named Barbara Webb, a kind of Lois Lane type of reporter, very determined, very aggressive, very fearless, and all she wants is the story. She doesn't care how much trouble she gets in. She's just after the story. So when the story begins, we have this group of transients rounded together, put into a compound in the back of a police station, and Barbara Webb enters the story, and she wants to go around back and see who is there. She just wants to take a look. As a good reporter, she's got to consider everything. Maybe there's a story there. Maybe yes, maybe no. Doesn't take her any amount of time at all when she gets back there, and with her former boss, a guy named Herb, she gets back there and notices immediately there is a man with one arm standing in the middle of the crowd. Now, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the one-armed man, but she takes a chance on it anyway. Because nobody really knows what the one-armed man looks like except Richard Kimball, so you can't really look at a one-armed man, they automatically decide that's the one. So she just plays a hunch, and she takes this picture. She's got a camera around her neck constantly, always taking pictures of everything. She's an old-time reporter. And she takes this picture, puts it on the wire services, and before you know it, Richard Kimball is in Baker City, Gerard is in Baker City, the one-armed man is in Baker City, and anytime you get all three of them together in one story, something very special is about to happen. And what we have here is a real confrontation, the kind of thing that nobody would have guessed in a million years could really happen until the end of the series, but it happens at the beginning, or not the beginning of the series, but in the middle, which is most unusual. Kimball gets there, goes around back, takes a good look, and sees a man lying on the bench. It's not immediately apparent to him that it's the man he's looking for. He gets up slowly, and they see each other. And that moment, this is one of those moments in this series that you remember forever. There's a lot of moments like this, but this is maybe the best one of them all, when they see each other. Kitty, it doesn't really get much more exciting than this, does it? And we haven't even been to the car chase yet.
Oh, no, I agree. As I put it in my review, I said it was the perfect Kodak moment, you know, to see the expression on both of their faces. I thought this was even better than when the one-armed man was seen on the bus.
Right.
Because here, the one-armed man is truly feeling like the caged animal, because he is literally in a cage at this point in time. And so now he really is... you know, in a situation where Kimball could catch him much more easily than in the situation where he was on the bus. I thought it was great acting by both of them. I thought David Janssen was at his best here, particularly seeing how he was looking around before he went around back to see who the transients were and to see if the one-armed man was there. But he was very good at the whole body language and the facial expressions there, and this was definitely one of the best episodes where he displayed that. And you know, and the same to be said with Bill Raisch as well. Ken?
Yeah, finally, that was my reaction when the first time I saw it. I remember, you know, the first 2 years we got a little glimpse of the one-armed man. Only in season one, we saw him in Search in a Windy City, right? He was on the bus.
Right.
So we saw him for 5 seconds. That was a classic moment. Kimball's looking around the bus station, and then he goes right around the corner and he sees him, and the one-armed man looks back at him.
Right.
And so I think that's the second time that Kimball's seen him, right? Because the first time was the night that Helen was murdered, and the one-armed man is running from the house, and he sees him. So he sees him the second time. And then we get another hint in season two with Escape into Black, but Kimball didn't see him in that episode.
That's right.
Right. Only Margaret saw him.
Right.
And she told him about him and all that, and so he left town. So here we are in season three, episode 77, and we finally get the story where Fred Johnson is, you know, written into the entire story. And you're right, Act One is one of the best scenes in the entire series, really. It really is.
Well, let me tell you what I really especially like about this first act. There's a certain frantic way about it. Everybody's frantic in this particular moment. The one-armed man is frantic to get away. He's desperate. There's a desperate feel to the entire thing. He's desperate to get away because Kimball has seen him. Kimball is desperate to get him because this may be his only chance to ever catch him, if that indeed is the goal here. And even Barbara Webb is desperate to get this story because this is obviously going to be the story of the century. It's going to make her career. This is a career-making story. She just happens to be there, and this is absolutely unbelievable. So as it develops, there's a desperation. You know, there's a scene there when Kimball sees the one-armed man through the fence, and the one-armed man tries to get away, and he's climbing over the fence, and Kimball runs around the fence to get out into the street. We've seen him run before, but you've never seen him run like this. He's more desperate running, in my opinion, in this particular moment than he is even in some episodes where Gerard is right on his tail. I mean, he's really got to get out there. And there's a lot going on here that we've already seen in other episodes. I mean, when Kimmel's outside the fence and he's looking at the one-armed man, that's really a repeat of the scene back in Never Wave Goodbye in Season 1, where Gerard and Kimmel see each other, and Kimmel's on the elevator, and Gerard is behind the locked door, and he can't get to him. This is the same kind of thing, and it has the same kind of impact. Then you have Kimmel running out into the street. The one-armed man steals a car, and he comes roaring around the corner. That's a repeat of the beginning of the series when Kimmel almost runs him over the night of the crime. As a matter of fact, as much as I like the way it's filmed, I feel that they just missed an opportunity right there. They should have really recreated that particular scene with the one-armed man almost running over Kimmel and maybe Kimmel staring in the front window the way we saw in those flashback sequences at the beginning of the series. But even so, there's and this goes on through the entire episodes, not only in this first act, there's a lot of moments here where we've seen these things before, but they're all together in one episode, and they're done even better than they were before. So everything that's filmed there is exceptional. And you know, Richard Donner directed this episode, famous film and TV director early in his career. He did the original Superman, a lot of other movies. Really knows how to do those kind of sequences, and it's really, really brilliantly done. You mentioned, you and Kitty both mentioned, Kimmel seeing the one-armed man through the fence, and all of a sudden, you know, the one-armed man gets up and he stretches and he looks at Kimmel, and the camera just rushes right into him so that his face entirely fills the screen. It's just an amazing moment, and the whole thing is just brilliantly filmed, and the suspense just keeps on going and going and going. What's so unusual about it is that you really don't expect this to happen. I mean, Kitty, you really never thought that this was going to happen at this point in the series, did you?
No, not really. But personally, I think it's kind of about time because we have had some not so great episodes up to this point. So this was a rather refreshing change.
But you know what? The fact that they didn't do it. The fact that they did not do it in for almost three seasons, like Ken mentioned, it was only back in season one with Search in a Windy City, which we'll be doing on the radio here in about a month or so. That was the only time they really saw each other. Then nothing from that was 19. From 19 all the way up to 77, nothing happens in which they see each other. Along the way, you're right, you could say to yourself, they should have done it, it would have been more interesting. But it pays off here. Because it hasn't been done, because we haven't seen it, that's what makes this all the more special, because how rare is it for them to see each other? It's virtually impossible.
Yeah.
It just that never happens.
Remember, Bob, that throughout the first two seasons and into season three, there have been hints and there have been discussion of the one-armed man. So
yeah.
if you're a fan and you're watching every episode,
right,
and the core of this show is these three people, Kimball, the one-armed man, and Gerard. The one-armed man has been mentioned a lot,
yeah,
but they never really developed an entire story devoted to him.
Right.
So this episode, everyone has to see it. You really have to, because it's really the heart of the show. It really is. It really touches a nerve in you. You know,
yeah,
these two are together.
Real. He becomes, by devoting a story to him and having him in it, even though he says virtually nothing during the story, he becomes real. He's just been out there somewhere.
He's not a ghost anymore.
And now all of a sudden he's in your face. He's right there. And that,
well, and also the one thing this story does confirm, too, is that, you know, you could go with the idea that the one-armed man maybe thought that it was kind of coincidence that he and Richard Kimball's paths crossed before, but I think after this episode, the one-armed man truly knows that Kimball is actively pursuing him.
Yeah.
Okay, and talk about people being in your face. This is me. I'm in your face right now to tell you we're going to take a quick time out. It'll be brief. I didn't tell the audience, if you want to participate, you got your own opinions to offer, 800-407-KSAV. We will be right back to talk about this and a little bit more when Talking Fugitive continues on Retro Radio.
This Christmas, give the gift that lasts all year.
Tell your friends and family about KSAV and how to find us. Besides in-depth discussions of The Fugitive, KSAV offers great programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The retro radio format plays the music of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, interspersed with old-time radio programs, retro commercials, and the memories of radio stations of the past. The fun and laughter of sidewalks of San Francisco, the nostalgia of Perfectly Frank, the guests and audience interaction of Talk and Television with Dave White means there is definitely something for everyone. Giving the gift of KSAV means no hassles with parking, returns, or exchanges. One size fits all, and the best part of it is, it's free. KSAV, the enjoyment of Christmas Day every day of the year.
Oh, all right. I guess they didn't like my music. That got cut short. We're back to talking Fugitive. And listen, I got, excuse me, I got a cough. I got an email from Marty, and Marty says rumors abound again about the Fugitive released on DVD in 2007. Now, you've all three of you have your fingers on the pulse of the Fugitive. What do you know about this?
Well, one member of our group and of the other Fugitive group posted this. There's a website all about recent releases, but you know, this is a rumor. This has been going on a long time.
You believe it when it happens?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard all this before. There have been moments where they said, "Oh, it's imminent, it's going to happen." So the big deal now is supposed to be supposedly has a name. I forget what it is. The Fugitive Season 1 or something, and they're going to release the 15 episodes at a time. But you know, when it happens, then it happens.
All right. Well,
I'm not that convinced.
I'm gonna do my best to keep the pot stirred up, keep the rumors circulating out there. Okay, you guys go ahead.
All right. As exciting as this part of this episode is, this is enough in this first act for any single hour episode. I mean, end right here, and it would already be a classic episode. All of this is incredible, but it's only just beginning because the one-armed man manages to escape. He climbs over a fence, even with his one arm, and like I said, he steals a car, he almost runs Kimball over, and he takes off down the street, and Barbara Webb is there, luckily for Kimball, somebody's always there, and she grabs him and says, come, we'll go get him, and they get in her car, and we have a classic, fabulous, exciting, thrilling chase down a mountain road with the one-armed man driving a stolen car, and Kimball and Barbara Webb driving right behind him. I mean, this is a dream come true. This is, if anybody had said to me when I was watching the series the first time, what do you really want to see? Here, I will give you anything you want to see. I want to see the one-armed man and Kimball chasing each other down a mountain road. That's what I like to see. Well, here it is. I mean, it's right in front of you, and it's beautifully filmed from many different angles, from inside the car, from outside the car, from overhead, from the front, from the back. So it's always interesting, and there are great shots in here. You see the one-armed man behind the wheel of the car, sweating like crazy. That's how nervous he is, and he's looking behind him to see whether or not they're catching up to him or not. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's almost hard to sit in your seat while this is going on, and you got to wonder what's going on. Ken's review on the board today I thought was very interesting, because he mentioned, you know, what must Kimball be thinking while he's in this car chasing the one-armed man? Is this the right guy? Do I have the right guy? Did he really kill my wife? He's got to be saying. Ken said he's got to be thinking 100 things, and I agree. He probably is, and it's just an absolutely amazing and thrilling scene to watch these cars. It's not only is it filmed well; it's more than that. To me, it's who's being chased and who's doing the chasing. I mean, normally all the chase scenes are Gerard chasing Kimball. Anytime Gerard chases Kimball, that's great. Here is something much different. This is Kimball chasing the one-armed man. Whoever dreamed you actually see it like this? It goes on, and it's inevitable. You know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to run off that road, and it's the one-armed man who runs off the road. But before I get further into that, let me just give it over to Kitty and Ken. Kitty, what do you think? Hard to sit through this, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a very well-done chase scene. And I thought it was really interesting, too, watching the character of Barbara, because on the one hand, You know, she's this Lois Lane type of reporter, and she's driving like a maniac to stay up with the one-armed man. And yet it still doesn't escape her that, you know, maybe this one-armed man isn't the guilty one. Maybe the guy next to her is actually the guilty one, because at one point she turns to him and says, "Do you have a gun?" And he says, "No." You know, which kind of led me to believe that, you know, she had a little, at that point in the story, I think she might have had just a little bit of doubt. You know, she was ready to write this story no matter how it turned out, regardless who the guilty one was.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I never thought about that. It's interesting you should say that, because in her own mind, you're right. I mean, suppose this whole thing is a fraud, and the one-armed man really didn't kill Kimball's wife. Kimball really is delusional, and you're the one-armed man, and this crazy man has been chasing you around because he thinks you killed his wife, but you didn't. I mean, it's always a possibility that maybe we're being fooled by the entire thing, but you're right about that. And she tells him, by the way, after the chase is over, "I don't really care what happens here. I just want the story." So that's really all she's interested in. But, Ken, I really liked your comment there. I think you're right. Kimball must be going crazy sitting in that car.
Yeah, he should have been driving the car. But Kimball has not talked to the one-armed man yet.
Right.
He's only seen him twice up to this point. He's in the car. He's got all these questions. And what I like about that chase scene also is we, the audience, start to get identified with the one-armed man. Because, you know, they flash back and forth. They show him driving. Then they show Kimball. They show how desperate he has the look on his face. And so we're starting to see the one-armed man, finally, because we've only had glimpses in the past. You know, in Search, we saw him for 5 seconds. In Escape into Black, we saw him talking to Margaret, and then he got on the phone, and that was about it. But here, we're seeing him. We're starting to see what he's like. And you know what? He's kind of a menace. He is a creepy-looking guy. But you know,
well,
Kimball,
I thought he was a menacing-looking guy the first time I saw him, though, in Girl from Little Egypt.
Yeah, in that scene, running from the house.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kimball has not, he hasn't even talked to the guy yet. Actually, he doesn't know if he killed Helen yet, right, Bob?
Right.
We don't even know what the case is.
He only saw him run away from the house, right.
Well, I always got the impression that he thought the one-armed man did it.
Well, he's kind of putting two and two together, but... You know, I always say, we'll get more into this when we do Search in Windy City, because that's the first time he ever sees him. Remember, Gerard is saying he's delusional, that he doesn't exist. And we always see the one-armed man through his eyes, so I'm really not sure that he really does exist until I see him on my own. Here, something is going on because Barbara Webb is in the car, and this guy is running frantically away. Why is he running away? Now, he either thinks Kimball's a lunatic who's trying to kill him, or he's really guilty. It's one or the other. Anyway, before we run out of time here, let me just say that this car chase continues until the one-armed man runs off a cliff, and the car hits head first to the bottom, and then it turns over again. And I love the way this is filmed. Barbara pulls the car over, and Kimball stands at the top of this embankment, and we see him, the camera is down at the bottom, and we're looking up, and he just stands there for a minute, as if he's paralyzed. He's actually afraid to go down and see what happened, because this could be the end of his life. If he gets down there and the one-armed man is dead, it's over. And so you have to think to yourself, my God, you know, do I really want to even go down there? And then I mentioned in my review, we get a different kind of music in the background that fits in very well when he's kind of stumbling, running, falling down the hill there, trying to find out what happened. And the camera pans away from him slowly, very slowly. This is such great filming. It really is. The camera pans slowly away from him, and we see just the crumpled door of the car. Then we see the inside with the seat covers all torn up, and there's broken glass all over the place. And Kimball stops all of a sudden when he finally sees the wreckage, and then the camera pulls back as Kimball walks over to him, and you see what surely is the most astounding single image of the entire series, and that is Kimball standing over the apparently dead body of the one-armed man. I mean, the series is over. The series is over. It's the end of Act 1, and it's finished because the one-armed man is dead. And if he's dead,
what's left, right?
Oh, well, this is where, if that happens, that's when he calls up Ellie and tells her that, yeah, I'm ready to go to South America with you.
But did you know what Barbara asked? One of the first questions, that she started taking pictures, right?
Right.
And then she asked Kimball, is this the man that killed your wife?
Right.
And Kimball says, yes. But I go, well, wait a minute, Richard. You didn't see the murder in the house. You just saw him running from the house. So I think the first thing, you got it. You just assuming that he killed Helen?
Well, I think it's a good assumption that he killed Helen, because if the guy didn't kill Helen, how come he's running every time he sees Kimball?
Well, I agree that he really doesn't.
I mean, because if he didn't actually kill Kimball's wife, and Kimball drags him into Gerard, and he says, I don't know what the guy's talking about. I walked in to rob the place, and she was dead. You know?
I agree that he can't really be that sure, but I think I have to give them some space here in the series. I'm usually very critical of this kind of stuff, because this is necessary for us to follow this story from week to week. In other words, we're not going to be convinced that he killed his wife unless he's convinced. You got to start from somewhere. So he has to be convinced. I agree, there's no evidence. There's no evidence of anything in this entire scene. No evidence that Kimball did anything.
In fact, at the beginning of each show, it pretty much tells you that the one-armed man killed his wife.
Yeah,
well,
the narrator says that, but the fact that he ran away, I mean, we talked about this when we did the trial scenes and all that. The fact that he ran out in the street is absolutely nothing.
Right.
I mean, he might have broken in after the murder. The door was open and he stumbled in there. It's a lot about it. Now, the only thing you could say is, if that's true and he didn't do it, then he should go to the police and say, hey, this guy's chasing me. I didn't have anything to do it. I just happened to come along. He doesn't do it. So by the fact that he keeps running every time anybody gets close to him is in itself an admission of guilt in a way. Not going to do any good in court, but in a way it's an admission of guilt. So I think what they do here is that we have to be convinced that he did it, or there is no series.
Couldn't he have been running for a different reason, though?
Yes. So there really is no proof of that, but what else are you going to do? You got to convince the audience that this is the case, and Kimball's got to believe it first, and then convince us.
Okay, 1 minute left, so you guys go ahead.
Okay, we just can't start it in the middle of nowhere, because I don't have any reason to believe that. You say to me, the first question I'm going to ask is, "What do you mean he did it? Show me where he did it. You got evidence? You got fingerprint? What do you got?
Yeah.
You got nothing." That's the problem. When we do our next show on the 12th of December, it's part two of this, there's going to be a lot of complaining from me about this kind of thing, about how there's no evidence that the one-armed man did everything. So if Kimball thinks he's going to get anywhere with this, he's dreaming. And in part two that we'll do in our next show, the one-armed man confesses that he did indeed kill Helen Kimball. And my question is, so what? So what? Means nothing. It may mean something to us, but it's not going to help Richard Kimball go free. So that's a problem with the entire scene. It doesn't hurt this episode, certainly, but that is the problem. And only the fact that he's running away shows that he's got something to hide. But I would be running away, too, if a man was chasing me the way Kimball is. He wants to kill me. And
all right, we're going to run away here now. Now, starting in 2 weeks, you're going to be starting year number two. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
And it will be just as good as year number one. No, it'll be better than year number one.
Oh, good. I need that kind of pressure. Great.
All right. So, you guys, congratulations once again. Another good job tonight. And I'll tell you, this episode sounded really interesting to me. Anyway, all of you, be back for it. This will be the last, on the 12th will be your last program for this year, because of vacation around Christmas time. So be sure and catch that in 2 weeks. Stick around in 1 hour when Talking Television with Dave White will feature Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Talking Fugitive on Sheravision Radio.